Welcome to the Arts and Antique Radio Show, where your host, nationally recognized certified appraiser Elizabeth Stewart, Santa Barbara's treasure sleuth, will help you put a value on the treasures in your own home.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven?
So let's find out. How valuable is it?
You're the only star in my blue heaven, and you're shining just for me. Well, you're the only star in my blue heaven.
Hello, 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 Santa Barbara. It's your chanteress of everything valuable and beautiful, Elizabeth Stewart. I was so excited a couple of months ago. Independent wrote a story about an old theater being made into a new theater and coming to life again. And that's the theater in Lompoc. And I'm so excited to talk to the head of the project, Mark Herrier, and my favorite, Jamie Dufak, who's been, I mean, she's everywhere. And she's, you know, member of the fundraising committee for the theater. And this is a perfect opportunity to talk about the, you know, the part of Santa Barbara County that has had such an interesting past. It's one of the oldest parts of the county. And not only that, as I was researching for this, I learned that I think it was 1874 is the oldest part of the theater. There's the first, like a tax assessor's shack that was, yeah. So, I mean, this is a little hidden, this is a hidden gem. And I just want to brag on everybody that works with Project. I know so many of the names. But Richard, I bet you didn't know this. Okay. So the theater is on 112 North H Street. You've seen it. All of us have seen it. It opened in 1923. And right now, we have just recently celebrated the groundbreaking of phase two of this long anticipated $18.8 million renovation effort, $1 million renovation effort. And it's a milestone, the groundbreaking of the second phase, because the plans for this theater are not just a theater. It's sort of going to be like a community web, center of the spider's web, let's put it that way. And it's planned to open 2027, and it's going to host acts. Obviously it's a theater, but it's going to host all kinds of interesting things. And just to mention a few, made a list of what the theater is going to host, but it's going to be an area that people can celebrate on many different levels and be creative on many different levels, which I have to say, Mark, this is so important because, you know, we consume culture, but we're kind of getting lazy and we've been put in the backseat of we're the consumers, not the creators of culture. And, you know, for whatever reason, a lot of the kids that we run into today, my grandkids as well, they're not actually creating, they're consuming. And I think that's, from what I'm reading, Jamie sent me a whole bunch of articles. From what I'm reading, that's a big thrust of the project. So what's the theater going to do? Well, and I'm going to tell you right in advance, if you want to see your name up on the marquee, dear listener, if you want to see that happen, it can happen. All you need to do is open your wallet. So, and we'll talk about that later. But the local arts organizations are going to be able to use the theater free of charge. And then it's going to be a multi-use venue for artists, performers, and audiences. It's going to collaborate and encourage the development of community arts, educational, civic, and cultural organizations. Going to provide a performance home for established local arts organization, for example, ballet, which I love. And then we're going to actually use the theater's historic hub as a cultural center. And then there's going to be like a almost like a little jazz club speakeasy part of it. And then the theater will encourage all kinds of diversity. And Lompoc's been known for that for quite a while. And I think that's a super important thing. The theater, I happen to know a little bit about theater renovation just because in my past I was so involved with a couple of them. And I think this is a remarkable project. We can talk about the kind of people that I guess Mark and his team have been, you know, inviting to give money and to appear. And I printed out a list here of the theater, of the foundations involved. We have the California Arts Council, State of California, Brad Hall and Julia Louis-Dreyfus Hall Foundation. And they've come up to Lompoc and been part of many meetings, I noticed, throughout the media. I've discovered Jackson Family Foundation, Wood Clayson's Foundation is there, Hutton Parker Foundation is there, Santa Barbara Bowl is active in the foundation, the foundation, the Santa Barbara Art, County Arts Commission, the San Ynez Band of Chumash Indians, and Michael Tobes and his foundation. I mean, these are some important people. And so I guess I want to introduce Mark. And Mark is a Lompocian. Is that a word? Yeah.
It is now. Yes, I am.
Okay. And he's a theater guy. And he came up through the theater. And he loved the theater ever since he was, what, 4 or 5? And said, that's for me, and I'm going to be involved in theater the rest of my life. And lo and behold, he is. And he's spearheading this. And, of course, Jamie sent me a couple of wonderful descriptions of Mark's past. And I'm going to ask Jamie also a question of what you're impressed with about Mark. But what I'm impressed with about Mark is, you know, Jamie knows that I've been working in the arts, and I'm an appraiser, so I work with a lot of visual artists and creative types. It's so rare, Mark, that a creative person can think, well, they say there's two hemispheres. Maybe there's more than two, but of the brain, there's supposed to be two hemispheres. And usually creative people can think with the right side, but not necessarily the left side, and they're better with the right side because that's the more intuitive, futuristic thinking, big picture, holistic kind of hemisphere. Seems to me that you can use both sides of your head. And I think that is remarkable for, you know, a person that comes out of the performing arts. Having been married to like 50 million of them in my past. So I think that's great. And Jamie, you know, take yourself off mute and tell me what you like about what the person that Mark is. How is Mark perfect for this project?
Yeah, Elizabeth, you know, I think you hit on something right off the bat, and whether you call it like two different hemispheres or being able to channel into different areas of the brain where you're mostly a creative and in that sense. And Mark, what I have seen is just like all around kind of everything that this project needs and has been. And I think the thing that has impressed me the most is not only have him and a few core people, but he's been in the core from the beginning, is you can only do it alone for so long. And by the way, doing it well alone says one thing, but then to put together the team to bring it over the finish line. And it's a big finish line, right? Like, I am so impressed with the team that Mark has brought in as hires. I mean, we probably should talk about the architect at some point in time too, because he's amazing. But then also the board members and volunteers and looking at staffing and the funders. I mean, it takes a special person to be able to bring that team together, and you need that kind of team for this kind of project, because this project is really incredible and going to make such a huge impact, not only in Lompoc, but I really think countywide.
I do too. I think, you know, basically my first, when I want to do like a weekend, like a Saturday visit to a place that's so different from Santa Barbara, I go to Lompoc. And I love the thrift stores up there. I love the little used record store and the coffee shop next, and the way that the record store supported the local musicians. And I mean, I've always really enjoyed. I do want to talk about the architect, because, you know, we have Mark, who actually at the age of 10 was at the theater that we're talking about now, saw The Music Man, and fell in love with the theater and fell in love with, you know, being on stage. I mean, that's what I was referring to. We wanted to become an actor, but, you know, there's like a little, Jamie, like a little fairy godmother that was hanging over this project, I think, because I read a story about one of the collaborators on the project who was also from Lompoc and just so happened to see a Facebook something or other about Mark and said, wait a minute, and here's a guy that's top in his field. And he said to Mark, I think I can help. I want to know more about that story, Mark. How did that happenstance synchronicity come to happen?
Well, first of all, thank you very much, ladies, for your kind words. And as far as our support, you left out the John C. Methuen Foundation, who has given us $1 million to name our education suite. And the Mosher Foundation, first donation they've ever made to a North County organization. And the Santa Barbara Foundation that's been with us from the beginning. So we have really gotten support from everyone. And we've had like 5,000 donors, 98% of them $100 or less. And yet we're over halfway to our goal to complete the project. It's really been amazing. So thank you. As towards Benton, I was born and raised in Lompoc, graduated from Lompoc High School, go Braves. And my elementary school teacher and my high school choir teacher was the same man. His name is Larry Dellinger. His son, Benson, who I babysat, actually, when he was 8 years old, wound up being the premier theater restoration person in all the world. Whenever Frank Gehry may he rest in peace, had a theater project, he would call Benton and Theater DNA, and they are working on no less than 10 projects with the Gehry organization as we speak, including the Colburn School in Los Angeles, which is Juilliard of the West, and a brand new facility in Abu Dhabi that will cost in the billions. And so they are worldwide in their expertise, and they are working on the Lompoc Theater. So, yeah, I posted many years ago when I first started on this that I was doing this, and he sent me a message saying, can I play too? And I was like, well, sure. I knew of him doing work in the theater, but I didn't understand just who he was. And I said, so what are you doing? And he said, well, I just finished working on Gehry's Disney Hall in L.A. And we're working with Dudamel on his concert house in Venezuela. And so I was like, oh, yeah, please play too. Yes, please. So he has been with us from the beginning. And he is a lot of that left brain that you're talking about. As well. And we have 19-6 architects are doing our design work, and they did the Granada, they did the Santa Barbara Airport, they worked for the Music Academy of the West. So we have an amazing team. Lane 4 Fundraising, they have been amazing for us. And it's kind of like a dream team in my hometown, and it's been a joy. And you did mention something that I think is very important. It's the diversity. Lompoc is the most diverse population in the county, and by extension, one of the most diverse populations in the state. And 75,000 people to 85,000, depending on how many are working at Vandenberg Space Force Base on any given day, live within 15 minutes of our stage. And as of now, they have absolutely zero venues of which to express that diversity. So this is going to be a game changer. And unlike Santa Barbara, Lompoc is and always will be a proud blue-collar town. I am the son of a garbage man. And so I wear my blue-collar roots proudly. And that is an audience I am going to be excited to program for and to that economic class and that diversity. So unlike Santa Barbara, we can't follow the typical model for theaters in the country, which is that any given year you make 60% of your income from earned income, and the other 40% you go, please, can you give me money? That's a model that works well in major cities around the country, and including in Santa Barbara. It will not work well in Lompoc. So we have...
Why so? Why do you predict that is so?
Just economic, you know. The people that live in Lompoc, they do a lot of the heavy lifting for their wealthier neighbors. You know, they're driving the trucks, and they're picking the crops, and they're cleaning the hotel rooms, and they're working in the kitchens. And then every day they go to Santa Barbara or to San Ynez or to San Luis Obispo, and they do that heavy lifting. Then they drive home at the end of a long work week, and they clean up, and if they want to take their families out, they have to get back in the car and go back to Santa Barbara or to San Ynez or to, you know, San Luis. That's not fair. And they've earned this theater, and they are supporting it, and they are excited. I just was in the Lompoc Flower Festival Courage, and I was yelling that the theater was going to be open in the spring, and they just went crazy. They are so excited, and they deserve this and hunger for this. But it is an amazing facility because it has to be. We could have done just the theater itself, and it had no lobby really to speak of, no support buildings and stuff, and it would not have worked. And if it had only been a theater, you know, theaters tend to have financial issues, that would not have worked. So we made it a cultural center where we have the main auditorium. At this spring, we will open our nightclub on the stage itself. We'll have 80 to 85 people, up to 100 if we're standing with cocktail tables. And the performers will be on one end of the stage and the audience will be on the other. That'll be one performance venue that will go, we will use even after the main auditorium is open. We'll have a courtyard. We'll have a large parking lot, essentially a community plaza that we can have mariachi festivals and all sorts of outdoor events. We have a yearly Chops Festival that we will have again in October. You're all welcome to come. That will be there at the theater. We'll have that historic building from the 1800s that you referenced. It's the Lompoc Land Office. It's the oldest wooden commercial building in Santa Barbara County, and it will be transformed into the most modern building because we have partnered with the Lompoc Unified School District, and we are going to make it a STEAM room where it will be for fifth and sixth graders. Well, start their journey into science and technology with animation and robotics and lots of programs that will prepare them for classes that are already ongoing in Lompoc in both the middle and high schools. So we're partnering with the school system because it really is about the kids. I mentioned the John C. Methuen Foundation. They gave us a generous donation of $1 million because they are all into education, and we have a whole education suite in the business office part of the theater building that will house bilingual classes in music and acting and dancing and every kind of discipline. We can rent it out for corporations as a meeting room. The STEM room will also be a cinema boutique. We will run movies. We will have concerts. We will have dances. We'll have salsa nights. We'll have hip-hop. We'll have country and western. We'll have the symphony. We will next week have a very major announcement of a profoundly generous gift we have just received. I can't announce it yet, but I can say that part of that gift will be a $1 million endowment that will supplement our ability to bring the Santa Barbara Symphony, Santa Barbara Arts and Lectures, UCSB Arts and Lectures, the State Street Ballet will be able to do Nutcracker in Lompoc every year, the opera. We can partner with the Vobero and the Ensemble Theater. It's going to be sort of like a northern hub for a lot of the local Santa Barbara arts groups. And they are hungry for a new diverse audience. And we have that. And we are hungry to bring their level of performance expertise to Lompoc. So it's going to be a perfect storm of creativity. I've already had representatives from all of those organizations to the theater, and they are thrilled. They are looking forward to it, and so are we.
Well, I just want to say you're so far into the goal. So we had I thought you were more than halfway to the goal. Is that correct?
Yeah, we will be by the spring. We are in the middle of a over $4 million phase two part of it, which is fully funded. And we actually have some funding that will get us to at least a third of the way into our phase three. So, yeah, we are over halfway done funding-wise, and we are now spending that money just as fast as we can. We just put a brand-new roof on the whole building for the first time in 100 years. And as you mentioned, we're going to celebrate the centennial starting next May until May 2028, and there is a real pathway for us to be open fully. We will be partially open in, I'm thinking, around March of 2027, so that's coming up, and we'll be hopefully fully open by May of 2028. That's that's the projection we have and a path that we have. We need a little more help, but we're strongly moving there.
So I want to talk about, I'm less abstract, like I shouldn't have said, okay, are you half the way through? What I should have said, and I want our listeners to understand, what we're talking about is not an abstract thing. No. What Mark is asking for, and if you can picture yourself helping with the following, I always like to actually have something to concrete that I'm giving my money towards, but they need extensive interior and exterior renovation. They need roofing. They need structural foundation, they need seating, they need painting, they need flooring, they need walls, they need electrical systems, lighting, fire sprinklers, a resurfaced parking lot, a retrofitted basement. If you can think of yourself as helping any of those projects, like, for example, I really, really enjoy, for example, a beautiful courtyard. There's your opportunity, because these are real concrete things that need to be done, no matter if Mark is saying, well, we just need, a few extra dollars here and there. They need they're halfway done, but that means that the hardest part is coming. And what they need is they need some really definite commitments for some important, things. I mean, real things, material things. That was my first claim. And the second thing I wanted to talk about in that regard is, I know I'm a bit abstract on this, but it was interesting. One of the subtopics on one of the articles that somebody wrote about you, Mark, it was talking about the Lompoc Theater, and it's called The Century of Stories. And I found that really interesting because I'm a person that I get told off all the time. I write whole narratives instead of keeping down the line of what's supposed to be appraised. For example, I like narrative history, and it turns out that you're part of that narrative history. And what I mean by that is, you know, if you don't mind me saying, you know, you have interesting parentage. You're the son of a trash collector. And when you went to these performances yourself as a boy at the Lompoc, you know, you would, your dad would sit next to the mayor, would sit next to this person, blah, 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 blah. And you were quoted as saying the theater is the great equalizer. And I think that's totally true, and it's perfect. I also think that, you know, the voices, and how I was talking to Jamie at the beginning of the show before we actually went on the air, you know, there's a picture. If dear listener, you go on the website to the Lompoc Theater renovation project, you're going to see a bunch of kids standing in front of the theater in the 50s, 60s, I guess. And you're going to see, when was it?
In the 50s, that marquee.
50s.
Yeah, that was after the renovation in 1954, a renovation that was a month after I was born. It opened on Christmas Day of 54. And yeah, it was.
I wanted to say was that their marquee says, on stage in person, Rex Allen in my star. And then it says My Blue Heaven. And then there's a young man standing with a placard saying, Welcome, Rex Allen, and the such and such a club. And there's a bunch of very diverse faces of very diverse children, you know, celebrating the entry of this tall white cowboy in a white cowboy hat and little, you know, scarf that they wear, you know, blah, 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 blah. And he's standing there with this huge, you know, Colgate white smile, and in back of all these children in front of the theater. And I looked into why Rex Allen was in Lompoc. He was quite a big star. He has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame that was given in 1975. So he's a kind of a big deal star. And he did the voiceover for many, many things, including a lot of Disney. And that might be the tie-in with the club that's welcomed him, because he was a Disney voice talent for many, many years. And he also was a beautiful singer. And he sang, you know, the cowboy stuff that we all loved. We call them the Golden Screen Cowboys or something like this, you know, along the lines of Will Rogers. And he had, Rex Allen had a horse named Coco that he loved more than anybody in the world. You know, that was the kind of thing that happened in the 50s. Okay, Rex Allen was there, but, you know, and the kids welcomed him. But, however, so was Liberace. So was Van Cliburn, the Coasters. In the 30s, it was a Mickey Mouse club venue. And I looked into the people that had performed there. And funnily enough, you know, Rex Allen, who was a big star, and he had a beautiful voice, by the way. I found some of his recordings, gorgeous voice. He actually was on his way to Santa Maria to do a rodeo and a sing-along, because he actually was trained up in the rodeo in Arizona. Yeah. So I think it's fascinating when we talk about the narrative history of the theater, the people that have passed through, you know, I'm crazy about the folks that have performed at the Libero, but I mean, I was shocked at the kind of people that passed through.
Yeah. We had, the ones you mentioned, plus we had, the Platters and Van Cliburn. And in the Rex Allen mode, we had the Sons of the Pioneers, which were really big at that time in the country Western, and a lot of really great jazz groups out of New York City would come. And so it was a very diverse, performances even in Lompoc in the 50s. So yeah, there's been some amazing people. The owner's son of the theater, about 5 years after Liberace performed, he ran into him in Palm Springs on the street and said, "Oh, Mr. Liberace, excuse me, but I just wanted to say you played in my dad's theater and you were really great and we really enjoyed it and thank you for coming." And he says, "Well, what theater is that?" He said, "The Lompoc Theater." And he said, "Lompoc, oh, excellent acoustics." He remembered the acoustics, which have been legendary, and they still are. We did a lot of live, or they did a lot of live recordings, and we'll be doing that again. We will have the ability to record live albums there and also do podcasts and also do streaming. It's going to be amazing. But the acoustics were legendary, and primarily because it's concrete walls. And luckily, it's concrete in 1927 when they had invented rebar. So they are literally built like bunkers. It would have cost $1 million to tear the theater down. And so it's a theater, thank God, and won't ever be torn down. And had it been even 2 years earlier, it would have fallen down probably by itself. So it's, you know, it's built very well.
That was my next question, because I didn't know this, but in 2012, the Lompoc Theater Project was officially born. And the story to that birth was, I think, you guide me through this, but a family owned that, the Calvert family.
Yes.
And they protected the structure. People wanted to demo it, and they were like, no, no, you know, not yet, et cetera. And then they sold it to the Lompoc Housing and Community Development Corporation. And then by 2016, the Lompoc Theater Project had the keys. Within months, the Lompoc Theater Project paid the back taxes, gutted the interior, and restored the iconic marquee. How did that happen? I've never heard of such a thing happen that fast.
Well,
you know, that's amazing.
It's a little longer. We didn't get the keys until then, but we had been working for 3.5 years to prepare ourselves for the time we finally did get the keys. And thanks for a generous donation from Brad Hall and Julia Louis-Dreyfus, we were able to do all of that initial work to get us sort of a clean slate to begin serious fundraising.
I understand, but I mean, that is like a miracle. And you know, the next question, Richard's telling us we got to go to quick break, but the next question was, how did you get Brad Hall and Julia Louis-Dreyfus to actually pay any attention? You know, and give some money. And I thought it was funny. I listened to an interview with Julia Marie Dreyfus, who said, well, you know, we like the arts. She was very tongue in cheek about it. I want to know more about that. Hey, Richard, we'll go to quick break. When we get back from the break, and just to reintroduce it, I'm talking with Jamie Dufek, and I'm talking with Mar Harrier about the restoration of the wonderful Lompoc Theater. This is a huge project. You know, is the total that you're expecting is about 20? Is it over 20 mil?
No, it's our budget is 18.9 million, of which we are over.
We're still at 18. Okay, I thought maybe it might have increased lately, but it's an $18.9 million project with, I mean, some of, you know, I know Scott Reed from many, many years, you know, at the Music Academy, top-notch fundraiser. You know, you've got incredible people like Jamie that are helping you. You've got incredible architects that, you know, did did they work on the Granada? Yeah. Those architects? Yeah, I thought I recognized the name. And then you've got George Benson, who with the Geary organization has restored, you know, the top theaters in the world. That he's doing this because he knows Mark from being a kid in Lompoc.
Yes, it's Benson Dellinger.
Yes. It's amazing. Okay, Richard, let's go to quick break. Don't turn that down. Back in a minute.
To have heroes. To have heroes. To have heroes. You're the only star in my blue heaven. And you're shining just for me. You're the only star in my blue heaven.
Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart. My friend Jamie Dufek brought this to my attention. I didn't know she's involved with so many things. And she said, well, you know, this is a project that we're working on. It's renovation of the Lompoc Theater. And we are so excited about it because we're kind of at the halfway mark. I had seen it on the cover of the Independent, you know, twice, I think. And I was like, wow, that's very interesting. But what has it got to do with me? It's, you know, a nice little theater that's going to open. Turns out it's not a nice little theater. It's a huge project. It's a community-based project. And we were talking about the fact that the theater wants to be and will be the cultural center. The main auditorium will is going to be fantastic. There's going to be a nightclub on stage. There's going to be a community plaza. There's going to be a space where fifth and sixth graders can understand science, technology, and the creative mind. And also the school system is going to be involved. And thank God for that, because if I didn't have, you know, drama and painting and dance in my high school, I would not have graduated. I can tell you that for sure, because I certainly didn't do math and science and reading and all that. The Ealing's Foundation has done a huge generous grant where they're going to support the educational suite. I think
John C. Mathune.
Okay. The McCune Foundation. McCune, okay. Yeah. Got that wrong. So it's the McCune Foundation. And when, you know, Mark realized that he could actually spearhead this project. It took a while, but the project came together under a name, a not-for-profit, in 2012. And then by 2016, they had the keys to the theater. The reason they spent some time there was they were fundraising, and they fundraised to two amazing Hollywood performers, Julia Louis-Dreyfus. I know of her not so much by her acting career, but by the fantastic art collection that family has amassed. One of the top-notch art collections in the world. So I know how committed she and her dad, for example, you know, they're just legends regards the visual arts world. And Brad Hall as well. So how did that happen? Did you just pick up the phone and say, hey, Brad, you remember me? What happened with that? How did he end up giving seed money?
Well, as you mentioned, my theater background, it pretty much started at the Pacific Conservatory of the Performing Arts in Santa Maria. And they're still doing great work to this day, both in Santa Maria and at the Solvang Theater Fest. I was a student there and then was an artist in residence there. And I was in the first company that actually opened the theater fest in Solvang. I was on stage when the lights first came up there. Two years later, I was joined on that stage by a guy named Brad Hall. And so Brad was in that company and we became very good friends and fast friends. And I was at the wedding that he married this actress that he met at Northwestern, and turned out to be Miss Julia Louis-Dreyfus. And gosh, I think they're like almost 40 years married now, maybe even more. So I have been friends with them for that amount of time. You are right. Her art collection is amazing. She is an artist. I mean, she's the most decorated actress in television history, arguably the funniest woman ever on television, and a wonderful philanthropist and also an activist. She is an astonishing woman, really. And they are great parents. And I've known their kids since they were born, and they're wonderful, 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 loving people. And their support has been crucial to our success, both initially, and now they are our honorary campaign chairs, and they will be a part of this until we get the doors open. So it's been a magnificent collaboration, and I'm very grateful for their support.
Okay, Richard, let's go to a quick break. Don't turn that down. Back in a minute.
So I'll keep riding, hiding teardrops in my heart. Mm-hmm.
Stars may come and stars may go, way up in the heavenly blue.
Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart. My friend Jamie Dufek brought this to my attention. I didn't know she's involved with so many things. And she said, well, you know, this is a project that we're working on. It's renovation of the Lompoc Theater. And we are so excited about it because we're kind of at the halfway mark. But it's astounding to me that, you know, people think of, you know, reaching out to some of the names and the foundations, indeed, that your organization has reached out to. They're all people, you know, they're real people.
Yes.
And I mean, that is seems unreachable that, you know, you could actually say, oh, we're old friends and I'm involved in this project. What do you think? It's amazing how that works. I don't think people realize the importance of, you know, what I used to tell my son, who is in his mid-30s, and he's, I can remember very clearly, Marcus, you know, make sure you keep a really good day timer and keep that Rolodex current. And he said, what do you mean? What are those?
Yeah.
Well, you know, but I said, okay, well, I'm speaking in my language. You know, this is 30 years ago, 40 years ago, my language. But this is a way you keep in touch with your people that you know, because you don't know how you can reach out if you keep good tabs like that. Just do me a favor to know that doesn't work. We just use the computer now. We don't need that kind of people-to-people relationship. Guess what? He's now in his mid to late 30s, and he's like, Mom, I think that was the best advice you ever gave me. You know, keep in touch with the people that you love. And this seems to have worked somehow.
Yeah, well, the theater is a family. The nature of the theater is that you come together as strangers, and in a short amount of time, you have to either be someone's father or son or brother or husband or wife, and you can't just fake that. You have, it's sort of a you get real and intimate very quickly and open yourself up to others in the theater like no other business. You have to, in order to convey what you need to convey. Well, that sort of intimacy, it's like going, the only example I have in other parts of life is I'm sure going into war. Soldiers have that bond for the rest of their lives. Sports teams, I think you probably have a bond like that the rest of your life. Well, theater is the same. And there are people that I might have only done one show with for 3 months, but if they were calling me tomorrow, we would pick up where we left off because we were, for that time, brothers. Well, Brad and I have kept a relationship for years. I mean, and he's brilliant in his own right as a writer, actor, director, producer. He had several hits on TV, and, you know, he was did the Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live. So they are a talented tandem, and just been very generous with their time and their commitment to this project. And I'm honored that they're a part of it.
Jamie, I wanted to know from you, you know, if you were to say the most interesting, the most interesting hurdle that you never expected to jump over in regards to this project, you know, that what would that be? What would that have looked like for you? Was it something to do with the infrastructure, the fundraising, the people? What surprised you? Because you have such experience with not-for-profit arts management. So what surprised you the most about this project? Was there something that was different?
You know, I think, well, one, to clarify, I have had one of the easiest jobs relative to this as a newer board member, having moved to Lompoc 2.5 years ago. Like, I feel like I'm on the coattails of everyone, and just have the honor of being able to say, I'm part of this with them now, right? Like that, in support. I think the I don't know that it's been a hurdle, but I think that in fundraising, sometimes the hurdles are like it takes that village or community, and there's a lot of people that are involved with that and getting them on board with it. But Mark and the team and the people who have been with it for so long have done this beautiful job of getting everybody aligned on the North Star and what that is and what the vision is, that it's so easy for people to say yes, and they make it look really easy. But from an outside perspective, fundraising, if I had been at the very beginning, the hurdle is, how do we get this entire community and people outside of the community in the county really on the same page? And I think they've done that.
Definitely. I can see that. It's, I just want to say this is also going to be a community center in other ways where, I mean, I've never heard of this before, but the idea is that the outdoor courtyard would be available for weddings and private events.
And quinceaneras.
And quinceaneras, yeah. And there's so many flexible ways that they have under their hat to kind of introduce as, you know, as a gathering point for the community. And again, I love the thought, you know, Richard's going to tell us we have to close, but I love the thought about the stories here that are intertwined, you know, Mark's stories. And then the story of how he reached out to Brad and how he reached out to Mr. Benson and how they all are connected somehow, and this feeling of connections. I don't think I get that from like some of the other mainstream theaters that I know in Santa Barbara. I don't get that same connectivity feeling.
Well, that's Lompoc. We are a proud, longstanding community, and we help each other and we love each other. And so that's sort of par for the course. If everyone isn't involved, then no one is involved. And we really are a big part of the county, and this benefits the county in so many ways. And I will say, those of you who are thinking of donating, please do. No project in Santa Barbara County does more good for more deserving people than this one. Whether it is economic development you're interested in, the arts, education, science, we are taking care of it both for the community and for the children. And we have naming rights like no other in the county. Everything in Santa Barbara has been named. This is going to be the jewel of the county, and there's still time to get in to leave a significant legacy that you can be proud of and your family can be proud of for generations.
Quickly, tell me how people are going to make that donation.
LompocTheater.org is our website. There are plenty of ways to do it, and you can email me directly at mark.harrier@lompoctheater.org. And we will find you. I'd be happy to give you a tour and take you to dinner and show you just how you're going to change lives.
And dear listener, Richard, don't cut me off. You said, did you hear Mark when he said most of his donations are within the $100 range? That's important. So that really is important. We're talking about community involvement here. So even if you've got 100 or less to think about, that's counts as much as a couple mil right now, because what the idea is, we want to get to that finish line. We also want for all the community to be involved.
And that absolutely. And we are very happy to get a couple of a million too.
Yeah. Don't forget about that. But what I'm saying is if there's something like, oh, this is way beyond me, I've never done anything like this before. The majority of the people that have come forward are those just like you that have a 100 or less to give. So I feel good about that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Merrick, thanks so much. And Jamie, thank you. And Jamie's always such a, she just knows everything and she knows everybody.
We are so lucky she is on our board. She gives
you are actually.
Gives us credibility by the boatloads.
That's right. Yeah. Anyway, I want to contribute. So you'll be seeing my name soon. And thank you both for coming on.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Folks, I'm here tonight to talk about the foster... To talk to you about the Foster and Morales Wild West show, which opens here in Santa Maria tomorrow. Rex Allen, the star of our great... Rex Allen, the star of our show, the great star of our show, which features such wonderful talent as Rex Allen, Steve Lacy, and Rex Allen will positively be there. Now, folks, I'm not going to sing for you tonight. Instead, I'm going to turn the microphone over to none other than Rex Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Benton. Tonight, folks, I'd like to sing a real old-timer. It's called Strawberry Roan.
Let me tell you a tale and a good one I own of a bucking old bronco, a strawberry roan. I was hanging round town, not earning a dime, out of a job, just spending my time, when a stranger steps up and he says, I suppose you're a bronc-busting man from the looks of your clothes. So I says, guess you're right, there's none I can't tame. If it's riding wild ponies, that's my middle name. Oh, that strawberry roan. Oh, that strawberry roan. I'll ride him until he lies down with a groan. There's nary a bronco I couldn't bring home. Bring on your strawberry roan. Oh, that strawberry roan. Oh, that strawberry roan. He went toward the east, then came down toward the west. To stay in his middle, I'm doing my best on that strawberry roan. Now there is no fooling this pony can step, but I'm still setting tight and I'm earning the rep. I lost both my stirrups and off went my hat, grabbing for the saddle horn blind as a bat. And he makes one more jump and he's headed up high, leaves me a-setting on nothing in the sky. I turned over twice, then I came back to earth, and I starts into hating the day of his birth. Oh, that strawberry roan. Oh, that strawberry roan. That sunfishing critter's worth leaving alone. There's nary a buster from Texas to Nome could ride that strawberry roan.